Praise God. Those in relationship, quickly, I'm going to talk about 7 mistakes dating couples make. I'll run through it quickly so I won't waste time. Number one, if you're in a relationship, number one mistake dating couples make, number one, they don't build friendship. They don't build friendship. Relationship is supposed, it's just like the word sheep. Same thing with the word friendship. Relationship. Friendship is the strength of marriage. So that's what you're supposed to focus on in the days of relationship. Don't just date someone because you want to marry. Date someone because they are your friend. Don't just look for someone. Don't look for a spouse and make them your friend. Look among your friends and make one your spouse. The Bible says a friend sticks to you at all times. That is the strength of marriage, is friendship. Companionship is what we do in marriage. It's talking. How many hours are in a day? I can't hear you. How many hours are in a day? If you pray for 1 hour, how many hours are left in the day? You have sex for 1 hour. I'm talking about married people now. You have sex for 1 hour. Let's see, and it doesn't last 1 hour, but let's imagine you are a champion and you have sex for 1 hour. You know the movies and things we watch are the things causing problem for us. You see people tearing their clothes, breaking their plates. Nobody that is hardworking will break their plates. You know how much it takes you to buy that place? You will tear your cloth. You know how much that cloth costs? Nobody is doing that thing. When we come, we'll talk about this thing. Because all these pictures people paint for us are these things confusing people. You're watching pornography. Those people, they're acting, they're cameramen there. They're acting, it's not real. So you watch pornography, you're not expecting your wife to come and do, or your husband to come and do. Hey, I'm not enjoying sex in my marriage. I say, compared to what? Compared to what? He said he doesn't last. Compared to what? What's the fixed amount of time every a man should last? Eh? Where is the scripture? That thou shalt last 30 minutes. He doesn't last. Last to what? Is he everlasting sex? He said he's not lasting. To what? To where? It's what you have been eating outside that is affecting what's happening inside. God is smart. We need to start following his principles. That's why marriages are unhappy and struggling. We're doing it our own way by what you see on social media. Friendship. So after 24, after 1 hour prayer, 1 hour sex, how many hours do you have left? What do you think you'll do in 22 hours? It's just it. Friendship. That's why if you don't have friendship, the thing has no future. What young people don't realize is that it's the companionship that even fuels the sex. It's not the sex that fuels the companionship. I'll say it again. It is the intimacy that fuels the sex. It's not the sex that fuels intimacy. And that is why obeying God by keeping sex aside helps both of you really build real friendship. If I'm not touching you, can we talk for 3 hours and be happy? The moment touching starts, it becomes difficult to even do any other thing. When you and a man start touching yourselves, anytime he's calling you that, hey, let's see on Monday, he's not thinking about talking. So intimacy even goes down when sex is introduced. It doesn't go up. This is why many people hang sexually, because they wanted to build their marriage on physical connection. Physical connection never builds a marriage. Physical connection is the weakest part of a relationship. That's why they sell it. Somebody didn't understand. I say physical connection is the cheapest, the smallest part of a relationship. That's why it can be sold. Prostitutes sell physical connection. Sometimes 100 naira, 200 naira, 300 naira. Physical. But can anybody sell emotional connection? It can't be sold. It must come. Now follow come. That's why you mustn't allow any sexual anything start. Let's obey God. God is wise. It's intimacy that fuels sex in marriage. Having sex with someone for 10 years, trust me, it's not the sex that is keeping it. It's the companionship, the intimacy is what now fuels it. All the people that have married very fine women, they see cheat on them because that doesn't keep you. But that connection. Let me move quickly. So, friendship. If you are dating, build friendship. Keep sex aside. Talk. Look for areas you guys have things in common. Don't jump into wedding plans. That's why we encourage people to date for a while. Don't just start at 6 months. You're already planning wedding, so you're not talking. Every time you pick phone, you say, hey, have you seen the gown? Have you checked the hall? That's not intimacy. Number two, I have to rush. God help us. Number two, mistake dating couples make, not having clarity. Not having what? Clarity. Without vision, people perish. Clarity means, what are we doing and where are we going? Some people are dating just for dating. So I want us to have a relationship. Say, which kind? Just a close, knit, tight, intimate, open, closed relationship. What are you saying? Don't be available for dating, be available for marriage. The whole purpose of dating is for it to lead somewhere. We are not dating to check each other out. That's not really what dating is for. If you are dating to check people out, it means you will date many people. That's what you mean. Because I'll date Mr. A to check him out. After 6 months of checking each other out, I say, he's not the one. Then I leave him. I date this one. His tie is straight, but it can't work. After 6 months, you date 30 people before you find the one. No. Keep the friendships going. Let's talk. If we can't survive as friends, we can't make it in marriage. And after being friends for a while, I should be able to know. Both of us should know. If this is going somewhere, then when we start a relationship, it is for the purpose of marriage. It's not just that we're just dating. For the sake of it. Are you here, somebody? Clarity. Where are we going? I want to marry you. Ask when. I have a book titled 7 Questions Wise Women Ask. One of the questions there is when? Because sometimes the right person wants to marry you, but the timing is wrong. If you're 35 years old, somebody says want to marry you in 5 years. Does that work for you? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Pastor, I saw somebody that dated somebody for 10 years. 10 years. And they didn't marry. After she left, he dated another person again for another 10 years. And they still didn't marry. Real life. This is not that the GCM is people I know personally. So you don't enter such undefined relationships. There are questions you must ask. What kind of relationship is this? We're just checking each other out. Thank you for your offer. But at this age of my life, I'm not in the checking each other out stage. Because somebody can be checking you out for 3 years and waste your time. And if he told you he's checking you out, he has a right after 5 years to say, I've finished checking you out. And the conclusion is that you two should check out. So don't let anybody put you in such rubbish. What are we doing? Let it be defined. If you're looking for a wife, great. If you're looking for a friend, great. We can be friends. But no strings attached. I'm free to also have other friends. Not that you'll be the full, the authorized escorter. You escort her to church and back. Only you. You monitor her. No, she's free. Define. Oh, I'm looking for a wife. I want to marry. Then we start a relationship on that basis. Clarity. Let me move quickly. Number what? Number three. Mistakes dating people make. Not having mentors. Not having what? Mentors. Proverbs 31 verse 1, message translation, DJ. Proverbs 31 verse 1, message. You must have mentors. Nothing is hard in this life. You have somebody to coach you. See, the words of King Lemuel, the strong advice, that what? The whole Proverbs 31 was advice, was counsel. Based on a mentor. Who is your... This woman was able to tell this man the kind of wife to look for. And how he too should behave. I have a full message on this chapter. It's called Couple Goals for Men, Couple Goals for Women. It's a full message. Mentoring. Don't do anything without mentors. The first thing I did with my wife, the moment she agreed to marry me, I took her to Reverend Sam Adeyemi, took her to Reverend Victor Adeyemi, took her to my pastor, Pastor Abba Oduwole, and I said, these are my mentors. Feel free to report me at any time. If my head is touching. As a man, that's one of the securities you must give your wife or woman. You must let her know you two are submitted to somebody. How do you tell somebody to submit to you when you are not submitted to anybody? Come and say, you must submit. You, who are you submitted to? You can't be demanding submission when you two lack submission. You must have authority. I gave her their numbers. I said, put them on speed dial. Enter my head is not correct. Feel free to report me to the speed dial people I listen to. You must have mentors. I have to move quickly. Number what? Number four. Mistakes single people make, dating couples make. I've talked about this already today. Having sex. Your courtship period is not for intercourse, it's for interview. The late Pastor Bimbo Odukaya said that. Or at least I heard it from her. Your courtship period is not for intercourse, but for interview. It's a period for asking questions, not removing your clothes. asking vital questions. Where are you going in life? What are your values? What are your dreams? How many children do you want to have? Will you live in Nigeria or out of Nigeria? Can you remain in Nigeria or can you live outside? Things like that. Important questions. Number what? Next one. Number what? Five. Waiting to have all the money before you make progress. There are many single people that are due to marry, but they are waiting because they want to have all their money ready. Look, in marriage, we are never fully ready. You must keep making progress. Progress over perfection. Many people, they want everything to be perfect. It will never be perfect. As long as you both have jobs or one person has a job at least, you can start with your size. Start with your size. There's so much blessing after the marriage that you are delaying it by waiting to have everything before you marry. The things will come after you marry. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and then does what? That's where favor. Favor is after, not before. But you are delaying, waiting for favor. Marry! If you have a job and you are mature, of course, and you have done all the other things, please go ahead. When we married, we had no money. I was a young pastor. I wasn't even being paid a salary, but I had a job. And my faith was working. I was doing things. So it's not that I was jobless. I was just not rich. But her coming into my life brought incredible favor. Incredible favor. Are you here, somebody? You have removed timer. Is it intentional? Please put time out. What I have here, I can take 3 hours and I'll finish it. Number what are we in? Number six, mistake dating couples make, playing house. Playing house, that means moving into each other's house or living together. Big mistake. Statistically, those relationships never last. Or they are, even if they last, they will trouble throughout. Don't move into anybody's house before you marry. Hey, somebody gave an example I love. Imagine you're looking for a job. And you like everything about this job. Then you go to the office. They say this is how much we'll pay you, but you work Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you say, hey, I'm not sure. Then the company says, you know what? Come anytime you like. Work anytime you like, but we'll still be paying you your salary and all allowances. Is there anybody you know that will fully resume? They're already paying you your salary, whether you come or not. That's how it is when you give a man or woman the benefits of marriage without the commitment of marriage. Nobody likes commitment. If they tell you that this is your certificate for UniLearning, who's a student here? What are you studying? Law. Beautiful. How many years is law here? 5 years. So imagine from year one, they give you, bring their book. Imagine that. What's your name? John what? Oluyemi. John Oluyemi. So, John Liami, matric, day one. They now say, this is your law certificate. Eh? We have already given you. Eh? But these 5 years, when you are free, attend lecture. When you are in the mood, do exam. But whether you do or not, whether you come or not, we have shall given you. How serious would this student be? This is what you do when you go and move into a man's house. You are washing his clothes, cooking his food. Then he wants him to marry you. Even if he marries you, he will never be committed. Who pays for the cow when the milk is free? Don't try it. Don't move into each other's house. You disrespect yourself. You disrespect marriage. It doesn't. Ladies do it because they think it motivates the man. It does the opposite. It demotivates him. Men are not like women. Men are hunters. It's better for a man to be... Men move more when there's a chase. When he gets everything he's chasing, he's totally demotivated. Even he can't explain it. That's why when a man is toasting you, he's never busy. You notice? You know, the moment you agree from that day, he's busy. It's not his fault. Even him can't explain it because we are more motivated by the chase. When he gets what he wants, he now needs coaching to continue chasing. If not, he'll totally log out. When he's calling you every minute. The moment you agree like this, 3 days, what happened? I'm busy. He's busy calling another person because he enjoys the chase. Are you getting what I'm saying, guys? So don't make yourself fancy cheap. Because for women are totally opposite. For women, the nicer you are to women, the more they love you. So women think that's the way it is for men. So they just give him everything. Oh, how to help him? How to do everything for him? It's totally opposite reaction. Once you give him everything too quickly, too cheaply, he loses interest quickly. Totally opposite of you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Let me try and round up. I'm managing my time as much as I can. Number what are we in? Seven. Mistake dating couples make. Avoiding premarital counseling. Never go into a marriage without doing premarital counseling. In fact, from the day you want to start a relationship, please register for premarital counseling. You have a good church here. You have a good system here in your church. And for those watching somewhere online or whatever, if you don't have a good church, look for professional counselors. There are many of them now available that can counsel you. Don't go into... See, counseling is so crucial. Professor Emeritus Solomon David, he said in four places, without counsel, purposes are defeated. In the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Professor Emeritus, anything he says is better than any Harvard. Because what he has used, no eye to see. Nobody has tried it, even till today. Nobody has kept 1,000 women at the same time. Nobody. He said, don't play with counsel. It brings safety. Professional counselors can help you see things that you don't see. Take note of things you are not taking note of. Ask you questions. They will do root cause analysis for you. They will do assessments for you. Because love is never enough. Love is never enough. That you love a car doesn't mean it can serve the need. You go and buy a Ferrari, and where you live, the road is like this. Yes, you love the car, but will the car take you to where you're going? No. It won't make it. Marriages don't fail because people don't love each other. They fail because people don't understand each other. Married people, can I still talk to you? I don't know again. I've spent so much time. Where is my note for married people? What? Let me touch it. Eh? We are ready, Abby? Let me touch married people a bit. Glory to God. But are you getting blessed so far?
Yes,
I don't believe you. Are you getting blessed so far?
Yes,
okay, I'll use the next 10, 15 minutes to talk to the married folks. How many married people are here? If you're married, can I see your hand? You're married. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Now, even if you're not married, this helps you. So you can also listen. What are the 7 reasons God instituted marriage? It's important to always know what the Creator had in mind. Like Miles Monroe will say, if the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. What's the purpose of marriage? Let's start from there. And I'm going to tell you, set the 7 purposes of marriage. I'll run through them as fast as I can. Number one, like I said yesterday, marriage wasn't created to make you happy. It was created to make you what? Better. It's like school. School wasn't created to make you happy. Now, if you become better, eventually you become happy. Do you get what I'm saying? So, if John graduates in law, eventually, all the time we're giving him assignment, giving him exam, it wasn't making him happy, but it was making him better. But the moment he graduates, he's now better John. The John that entered the school is not the John that left. Am I correct? When he's a better John, he can now do some things with his law degree that can eventually make him happy. But the whole school, law faculty or whatever of UniLearning, was not set up to make students happy. That's not their goal. They are set up to make students better. So, like I said, it's important you understand that marriage wasn't necessarily created for happiness like that. It was created to make you better. So, number one reason marriage was created was for 2 people to complement each other. 2 people to complement each other. God said in Genesis, when he was talking about first marriage, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He said, I will make him an helper that is what? Suitable and what? Adaptable. There's a law of first mention. Whenever something is mentioned for the first time, captures the essence of that thing. So the first ever marriage wasn't because Adam was sad or lonely. That's what I'm saying. If you are desperate to marry, you have missed the point. The first ever marriage was because 2 of them will work together to achieve purpose. So there must be a grand plan in your marriage. Every husband and wife, go and sit down today and write family vision for your family. Write what do we, at this union, it's like a business. Can you start a business without a clear vision? That's how it is when you start a marriage. There must be a clear vision. What are we planning to do together as a family? One of the reasons why my marriage is working. That's it. Loving yourselves is never enough. There must be something higher than just loving yourselves. What makes marriage work is not just what you do to each other. It's what you do together. Somebody understand what I'm saying? Not what we do to each other, but what we are doing together. There must be something higher than two of us that keeps us going. When is Nigeria most united? Do you know when Nigeria is most united? When we have a common enemy. Somebody's not getting what I'm saying. If Nigeria is playing World Cup with Brazil, at that time, nobody cares what tribe scores the goal. We are more united the moment we have a higher goal. But when World Cup finishes and there's no goal, then we start noticing that this one is Yoruba, that one is Hausa, this one is Christian. That one. But when in the football field, when we have World Cup, if you like, be Buddhist, can you score the goal? A higher purpose is always important. So you are coming together in the union, not just to love each other. I love you. I love you. I miss you. I miss you. Mwah, mwah. That's not it. There must be something higher. We complement each other. We are working together on something higher. So he said, two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. We're meant to complement each other. So that's why opposites usually attract. Most people don't know this. Opposites usually attract. A person that talks a lot will marry somebody that is quiet. A person that is scattered will marry somebody that is organized. Opposites always attract. The only problem is that when opposites attract, there are three stages. Opposites attract. After that, opposites frustrate. It's that frustration stage that the marriages end or relationships end because they don't know how to navigate it. Once you navigate the frustrate well, you now exchange. And that's where the beauty starts. So opposites attract. Two talkatives can never marry. Who will listen? They will never marry. They will hate each other. This one doesn't even listen. I'm telling you something. You're telling me on that thing. Two talkatives. Two quiet people, two can't marry. Just sit down and say. Sit down for 1 hour. Some of you have done it before. You sat down with somebody, two of you couldn't talk. After that day, you advise yourself that this thing is not going to work. Two higher workaholics too can marry. Opposites usually attract. One of my daughters that is happily married today, she's a workaholic, very driven lady, smart girl. She has PhD, she speaks about 4 or 5 languages, she has traveled around, very driven. She was not dating a guy that was very laid back. And that's normally what should happen. But she said, the guy is too laid back. He's too laid. I said, that's the guy you need. If two of you are driven, you can't live together in that house. Because two of you struggle for steering. Two of you don't even know where the children are. You meet yourself at the airport. Because you're both running around. Say, where are the children? I don't even know. Where did you keep them? I thought you were with them. Yeah, I thought you were with them. I said, this is the guy you need. As long as he has a job, he will not be as driven as you, but he will give a balance to your own strengths. Today, they're happily married with a child. I get what I'm saying? And I run into couples like that all the time that get confused. Because at the beginning, the opposites attract, but if you're at some point, it will start to frustrate. This is where many people want to divorce or not or break the relationship. What you need to do when the opposites start frustrating is to understand each other. Because at the beginning, you like the guy because he's jovial. You are quiet. What attracted you to him is because he was going about in the class or whatever, gisting, playing, you like him, whatever. That's how he even came to meet you, because you will never go and meet somebody. But that's how he came to meet you and gisted with you. And both of you now enter the relationship. But not in a relationship. After church, so he wants to go about greeting people. They say, you can't you sit down in one place? The thing that attracted you is now frustrating you. So it frustrates. There are many married couples dealing with that. The thing that attracted you is now frustrating you. She's so quiet. You see, you like her because she just sits down in one place. Ah, this guy is so gentle. Me, I can't sit down like this. She's so gentle. You liked her. After a while, you're not like, can't you stand up? You can't even say anything. Stand up, talk. So the secret to dealing with the differences is, number one, understanding your spouse's difference, and number two, adjusting. So when you understand that she's naturally quiet, not that she's not talking, she's talking in her mind, she's not just talking with her mouth. Quiet people talk, they're just not talking with their mouth. So when you have an understanding, for you to allow them to talk, you need to stop talking. You talk too much, so they don't have power. You overpower them with your too much talking. So when you understand that, you will slow down your own talking and ask them, Oya, tell me what you think. She will first say nothing, or he will first say nothing, but he has something. Later again, ask him again, tell me what you're thinking now. Oya, I'm not talking again. Tell me. When you really push him right, he will say what's in his mind. So understanding him or her and adjusting is what will help you. Because two of you need each other to complement each other. Somebody get what I'm saying? The saver will always marry the spender. Opposites always attract. In my own house, I was the spender. My wife was the saver. These are the things that break marriage. Most, like, maybe, Pastor, maybe when I come again, I would even train do some training for your counselors. if you want me to do that. Marriage is very simple. All the people saying there are big problems, there's no big problem. There are always common problems. They are clashing. It's personality clashes or things like that. The spender, we always, it's opposites that attract. The spender, we always marry the saver. Two spenders can't marry. They won't have enough money for the wedding. It's spender and saver. Then they will not marry and the clashes will start. Because the saver like the fact that this guy is so, he spends freely. He spends freely. I like him. When that's when you're dating. When you're not married, you're like, once you finish our money, must you spend money every time? The same thing that attracted you now frustrates you. And the guy liked the fact that you were so nice. But when you're married, he said, you don't even spend all your money, want to keep it? Let's spend. You must understand each other. You need both. You need both. You complement. Once you understand each other, then you now exchange. You attract, you frustrate, then you exchange. The exchange part is the beautiful part, where the talker now becomes a bit more quiet. And the quiet person now talks a bit more. The spender now becomes the saver. And the saver now begins to spend. Those savers, they don't even spend on themselves. But marrying a spender helps the saver. That saver, he will go to the market. She will go to the market. How much is this thing? Ah, 10,000. Ah, I'm not buying. It's too much. They never spend. So marrying a spender helps her to release herself a bit. When they exchange, so it happened in our own house. Like I said, I was the spender, she was the saver. Ah, I spend. Because I have faith. I will believe God for 10 million to come. I will spend it in 10 days. Big, big things. Yeah, so I was a financial wreck. When we come again, we'll do all these things in practical terms. I was a financial wreck. I had money. Not that I have faith now. I used to get money. I'm graced. And I sow. I sow dangerously. So harvest too will come dangerously. Only that I also spend it dangerously. So I was a danger. But after a while, I knew that the thing about the spender is that he's permanently wearing fire brigade uniform. Rent always comes to him as a surprise. Sir, rent is due again. No rent is surprise. No school fees is surprise. They are all scheduled. But the spender doesn't know because he's blowing everything. He's always on fire brigade. So my wife began to pray and all that. So now we have exchanged. Now, me, I'm the saver. Now, she's the spender. But she still doesn't spend on herself so much, but she spends for children. Buying children clothes. Now, me, I'm the saver. Any money that enters, I say, save everything. I don't save 10%. I save everything. Outside of tithe and giving, the rest is saved. She's now the spender. We've exchanged. I used to be the one that talks a lot. Now, I'm more quiet. She talks more. When we're in the counseling session, she does most of the talking. Sometimes I'm just... One day we finished counseling. I was calling one of our technical guys. I wanted to ask him that, can we buy hologram? You know hologram? That thing that looks like somebody, but it's not somebody. I said, because in this counseling, I wasn't useful at all. If you just buy hologram, just put me there. Because she talks now. But before, my wife doesn't talk. When we go to church, after service, she's already in the car. Me, I'm the one that's talking to people. Now, when we finish service, I'm in the car. She's the one talking to people. We've exchanged. So there's a beauty to it. Hallelujah. We'll deal with all these things in other times. I have to move quickly. So number one is what? We complement each other. So husband and wife, are you complimenting yourself? Are you looking out for that weakness you are complaining about? You're actually supposed to help that person with that aspect. He said, but what do I do when he's not allowing me to help? Just be available and keep dropping the advice. One day they will run into situations that will help them realize, why am I not listening to this man? Why am I not listening to this woman? The issue is that we want to change people at our own pace. You don't change people at your pace. Everybody's work in progress. And they all develop at different paces. So be patient. All right? So compliment each other. If he's not good, he's not tidy, you are tidy. Instead of complaining about him scattering his things, compliment him by arranging his things. She's not good financially. Instead of complaining that she's useless financially, help her to spend better. You are meant to compliment each other. All right? He said, if one falls, the other will take the other up. That's what the scripture says. Number two, purpose for marriage is character development. Number one is for complimenting. Number two is character development. Marriage is where you grow. Marriage stretches you. Everybody thinks they are nice. Pastor, if you know me, I'm full of love. I'm such a good person. True, Pastor. Anybody I'm married will enjoy. Wait now. All your bad character will show in marriage. You didn't know you are selfish. You will know in marriage. Most human beings are very selfish, very inconsiderate. It's in marriage you will know. Many people are inconsiderate. Many people are very wicked. It's marriage that will show. It's easy to be kind to people you meet for a short period. It's more tasking to be kind to somebody you live with 24 hours. Most people don't have capacity for 24 hours kindness. That's why if you are in a powerful church like this, or in any church you belong, you must be part of the workforce of the church. You can't be too busy not to join the workforce, because the workforce prepares you for marriage. When you join ushering, they teach you, you must smile. And somebody's coming, you smile like this and point him this way. And he does exactly opposite and goes this way. But you must continue smiling. Even though your mind is saying, what's in this match? You'll be attention, good left. You are learning marriage. Hallelujah. Because in marriage, we learn to continue smiling even when things are not working. You join the choir, you have rehearsal 3 or 4 times a week. You learn to go whether you are in the mood or not. You learn to sing joyfully, even though you are not joyful in your heart. You are learning it. So that teaches you how to also do it. Because in marriage, we are not always in the mood. Nobody's in the mood all the time to be lovely. I can never forget, Pastor, when I went to join choir. I was zealous for the Lord. I was a new Christian. I joined all the departments in church that time. All. I'm not joking. I joined traffic, joined people that set up equipment. This drum, I can pack it all in one. They taught us how to do it. I joined people that pack equipment. I joined ushering. I joined everything, the prayer band. I joined prayer band in Makurdi. Bad idea. In Makurdi, they have time. Makurdi is not like Lagos. In Makurdi, if you call cab or call bus, you're on this bus, when you call bus, the bus will stop. Reverse. With people inside. Reverse, enter your driveway and wait for you to come out. They are very patient. So when they are praying there, 2 hours is just the introduction. I went to join prayer band. And I was even praying in tongues then. So my colleague people say, 2 hours, can we just warm up in the spirit? Just 2 hours. Magadadadadada. 2 hours, I'm already, I can't even, I'm tired already. And they have not started. And I went to join choir. They say, we need somebody to, keyboardist is that. I left it. They say, we need somebody to lead worship. And I joined choir. I had choir notes, take songs, but I was always backing up. One day, nobody to lead praise and worship. And there's nothing they ask for in God's house that I don't volunteer. Once they say, they need somebody, I say, because I served Satan very well. So I said, I'm going to serve God more than I serve Satan. Say, praise on your name. I raised my hand. They gave me a mic. Sunday morning, nobody taught me that in praise and worship, you don't start with the fast songs. You start with the slower songs and let it build momentum. Nobody taught me. I started with the hottest song. Thank you for saving me. I started hot song. Hey, who were clapping? Hey! Nobody told me. This way mentoring and counsel can save your life. I started with the hot song. Thank you for saving me. Clapping. You know, but every song has lifespan. Choir people know what I'm talking about. Every song has a period where you need to change it or else momentum will drop. I didn't know. As a song, I didn't know how to change because I started with a very high song. I didn't have under high song. You're supposed to go from low to high. I started from high. There's only one place to go. It's down. So I started, your hand. Bah, 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 bah. Your hand. Your hand. That's when I knew that sometimes when people are saying your hand, it's not your hand. They are thinking of the next thing to do. Thinking of the next thing to do. I say, your hand! Your hand! Your hand! After a while, they knew that this is your hand. It has lasted longer than it should last. They knew that this is your hand was that I'm stranded. Your hand! Your hand! Their hand was not pinning them. They said, oh God, we have done that. It's your hand! When they saw that this thing has hung, somebody in the audience now wanted to help me. The person too doesn't know that you can't throw in song that doesn't match the beat. So the song the person threw, it didn't match the beat. So everybody didn't know what to do. But me, I'm the one on the stage. And when you're on the stage, whether the song matched the beat or not, you must be dancing and smiling. So I was dancing like white people because the song and the beat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So serving in church trains you. It trains you. It stretches your character. Like the Bible said in Ephesians 5, you say, husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. All this is how I am, is what breaks marriage. This is just who I am. You know I can't do it. You know I'm not hardworking. You know I'm not domestic. You know I can't cook. You know I always raise my voice. This is how I am. No, in marriage, you need to become who you should be. Don't remain who you are. There's a standard for how to love. There's a standard for how to respect. It's there in scripture. Say the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So Mr. Husband, Mr. Wife, maybe you are used to talking anyhow before. Now that you're married, you must now let all your words be seasoned with salt. It's something you learn. Marriage stretches and changes your character. Nothing develops character like marriage. Because you're living with somebody in the same house. And you must adjust, you must adapt, you must be considerate. Somebody shook me at the airport, Pastor. In one of the cities. Say, Pastor Kingsley, I know you. I watch your TV program. He shook me. You see the way he slapped my hand. On this that you love me. So when you now hate me, what are you going to do to me? He was inconsiderate. You don't shake somebody like that now. He's inconsiderate. So I'm thinking, if he can be this inconsiderate to me that he loves. You can't shake me like that. He slapped my hand. Wah! Some people are just that inconsiderate. Marriage stretches it. You start to learn how to look at people's face. You're controlling yourself. You want to learn that, you see, my husband happy, is my wife happy? What's her mood like? From time to time, just ask your spouse, are you happy? Are you okay? We do that in our house. Are you okay? Are you fine? Are you happy? Do that assessment by yourself. Because sometimes your husband or wife has something that is paining them. But they just feel you won't listen. So ask them. When the mood is right, don't wait for it to be correct. When the mood is good, ask them. All right? Number what? 3, I have to rush. Third purpose why God created marriage was for companionship. He said, how can you be warm when you lie alone? God knows that human beings need connection. Nobody's an island. We're created for connection. He said, how can you be warm? This is Ecclesiastes 4. He said, how can you be warm if you lie alone? But when two lie together, they have warmth. They have heat. Companionship, there's nothing as good as having a friend and a partner. Somebody you can always talk to. When the highs and the lows of life come, somebody you can always share with. Look at it here, Ecclesiastes 4:11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Companion, somebody can open your heart to. Somebody can share your fears and worries to. Husband and wife, do you guys spend time communing with each other? Do you go on date nights where you talk? Date night, you keep your phone aside and you just talk. Some of you don't even know your husband's best food. You don't even know your wife's best food. One couple, after about 50 years of marriage, they were celebrating their 50th anniversary. And the wife said, honey, I'm cooking your best meal for our anniversary. He said, oh, thank you. But then the brother messed me. He said, this is not my best meal. She said, but you've been eating all this. I thought it was your best meal. He said, no, it's not my best meal. The woman said, me too, I don't like it. He said, me too, I don't like it. I'm eating it because I thought it was your own best meal. So you'll be amazed that people don't talk, even though they live together. Because once life begins to happen, your talk time begins to reduce. So you now need to be more intentional about spending time together. You can't allow the busyness of life separate two of you. So plan date nights. Plan hanging out. Plan even short periods of time you can talk. In our own family, one of the things we do, when we get home from work, church or work, we stay in the car. That's what we do. We don't go into the house. Once we go into the house, children are there, TV is there, we'll be distracted. So we let everybody go into the car. Most of us stay in the car and just talk. The car is small. Nothing can distract us. No phone, no nothing. We just talk. So how was your day? What's happening? We just gist. You must be intentional about that connection. Companionship is the real thing we do in marriage. When you see a couple married for 50 years, it's not sex keeping them. It's companionship. This person is my friend. This is the person I can share anything with. All my worries, all my fears. Number what? Number 4, coitus. They are all C's. Coitus. Coitus is mean sex. Another word for sex. Marriage was created for sexual release. Paul said, instead of for you to burn, make sure you marry. Say, don't burn. Don't burn down CLC tent. Marry. So sex helps us. Marriage helps us with sexual release. That's why it's so important that in 1 Corinthians 7, the Bible says your body is not your own. It's not your own. It's not even up to your mood. You won't be in the mood all the time. It says your body, in fact, the Bible says even if you want to fast, You want to fast sex. It's not all fast that includes sex. But even if you want to fast sex, you must take consent from your partner. Because it's a due right. Sex is the right of your partner. You say your body is not even your own. DJ, find that for me. This same scripture, this same chapter. You say your body is not your own. So you can't deprive your partner of sex. It must always be available if you are married. Hallelujah. And my wife has a way she puts it. She says there are two kinds of sex. There's beautiful sex and there's dutiful sex. I'll say it again. There is beautiful sex and there's dutiful sex. So there are times it's beautiful sex. Both of you are in the mood. The atmosphere is right. The AC is on. There's a lot of foreplay, kissing, loving. That's sex. That's beautiful sex. That one happens once in a year. It happens more than that, but I'm just saying it's not all the time. What are the chances that both two of you will always be in the mood? It's rare. But beautiful sex is, I'm not in the mood, but my partner needs me now. So every time your partner reaches out for you, or sometimes you can even initiate when you feel that, oh, this man has gone 1 week without sex. Even though he's not asking me, I think he needs it. So women worry about he has not eaten. You need to worry about he has not. It's not only food. See, he has not eaten. Let's find what he needs. Find what else he needs. Not only food. He's just not telling you. Men sometimes are shy to talk about sex. So you must make sure you are meeting. Look at it. Say, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempts you not, for your lack of continuity, inconsistency. Give me where it says, your body is not your own. Find it for me, DJ. He said, the wife had not power of her own body, but the husband is the owner. I said, likewise also, the husband had not power of his own body, but what? The wife. So it's wrong to deprive your partner of sex. Talking to married people. Are you meeting your partner's sexual needs? You need to, we have assessments we'll do for married. When we come again, we'll do all these things for married people. We have assessments we'll do for you guys to know where both of you are. What's your sexual desire and how much of it is being met? What's your sexual expectation and how much of it is being met? As a married person, are you depriving? Are you defrauding? It's called fraud. ICPC and EFCC should arrest you. You are defrauding your partner if their sexual needs are not being met. If you are married, ask your wife, are your sexual needs being met? Ask, don't whisper it. Oh, yeah, don't ask. I know you're in church. Ask her or him at home. Praise God. Number what? 5. This one is a whole message too, but I'll just touch it briefly. Marriage was instituted for covenant. For covenant. For covenant. God doesn't have any normal relationships. He has only covenant relationships. Every friendship God has, you notice his covenant. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, everybody, it was covenant. God doesn't, because a normal relationship can't deliver the real benefits of a relationship. A covenant relationship means this person is giving himself 100% to me. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100. That means everything I am, because when the Bible says the two shall become one flesh, that word one flesh is talking about one person. Two people become one. In mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2. In mathematics, 1 + 1 = 1. Did you get that? I say in mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2, but in mathematics, 1 + 1 = what? 1. Covenant. I don't have time to go into that. In a covenant, there's unlimited sharing. Everything he owns is mine. Nothing like my money is our money. You are one. Not like my phone, it's our phone. How can your phone have password that has password that your wife doesn't know? That means you don't understand marriage. It's unlimited sharing. He said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There was nothing to hide. Marriage is a covenant, it's not an association. Both of you are one. You can't say my mother and my wife need money. Who should I give first? When you're asking that question, it shows you don't understand. Marriage is our mother, needs our money. Your wife is one with you. She's not an outsider. No time. Number what? After end. Number 6. Reason why marriage was started is for children. You see it in Malachi 2. It said God brought you together so that you raise godly seed. Children, raising children. And parenting is not a woman's job. Fathers, it's time to rise up. Fathers have slacked for too long. There's something only a man can give a child, and there's something only a woman can give a child. Women give nurture, men give nature. A child gets his or her nature from her father, gets nurture from her mother. A man and a woman together is what represents the real image of God. The image of God is not only man, it's not only woman. It's when we come together that we genuinely, fully represent the image of God. If you read Genesis 1, that's what it says. He said, let's make man in our own image. And after I say, he blessed them. So they were together. A woman is the left hand of mercy. A man is the right hand of judgment. It represents the two hands of God. So that's why a woman can't impart to a child the thing God has ordained a man to impart. And a man can't impart to a child the thing God has. That's why single parenting is not the best. I know some people are in it for something not their fault, but it's not the ideal. A marriage is the safest place to raise a child. That's why when you are choosing a husband for yourself, you are not only choosing a husband for yourself, you are choosing a father for your children. You need to ask yourself, is this who I want to reproduce after? When you're choosing a wife, you're not just choosing a wife for yourself, you're choosing a mother for your children. Say, is this who I want to reproduce after? I wish human beings can even be as smart as animals. You know animals, they don't mate with just any male. They look for the strongest male. Animals. They don't say any man. So far, a man. You know, so far, a man. Any man is good. No. Animals know better. Because who you marry will tell me whether your children will live and how they will live. Are you here, somebody? So husband and wife is together. There are parts that you will bring to that child. Your children will learn more from how you live than from what you say. If you don't go to church, if you don't love their mother, if you don't love their father, they are learning marriage from you. There is no marriage seminar as strong as somebody's upbringing. If you love your children, then love their mother, love their father. Respect. You are showing them. Respect your husband. Never insult each other in front of the kids. Never disagree in front of the kids. Father said they can go. Children said they can stay. No, don't have that discussion in front of them. They must always see you as a united front. Don't insult yourselves. Don't maltreat each other. I've seen people that hate their wife but say they love their children. That's wrong. The biggest investment to make on your children is to love their mother or their father. And last one, as I close, I've spent so much time. Marriage was designed for collaboration. Collaboration. Two are better than one. They have a better reward for their labor. When both of you agree, there's nothing I and my wife have agreed about that has not happened. See, when the Bible said, if two shall agree as touching anything, he was giving us a secret. There are many secrets God, Jesus Christ taught us that we don't take seriously. For instance, I said, where two or more are gathered, there's a stronger presence there. That's a coded secret. So praying at home is good, but being in a church or in a service is more powerful. Same thing with union. Praying by yourself is powerful, but when you agree with someone and your partner is like the strongest agreement you can have. There's nothing I and my wife have agreed about till tomorrow that hasn't happened. Nothing. And I'm not scoping you. There's nothing. Like she mentioned our children, how we wanted them to be born. The last two children are the same birthday. Because we wanted twins. David and Davida, like she mentioned. So they were not born now the same year, but they still have the same birthday. They were born the same date. There's nothing we've agreed about that. And it wasn't, you know, you can't plan that one. You can't plan that my children were born. You can't plan it. You don't know the day you're going to conceive. There's nothing we've agreed about. Even the place we live in now. We agreed specifically how we wanted the estate to be. We agreed specifically. I can give you gist and gist. We agreed. We said, for instance, we're living on the mainland. We wanted to move to the island. We said we wanted, I play lawn tennis. So I said, I want a place I can play lawn tennis on the island. The estate we moved into, the week we moved in, they began to build tennis courts there. That week, two tennis courts. We didn't want generator issue. So we agreed we wanted an estate that had 24 hours power. The month we also moved into the estate, they started 24 hours power. That month. So I've lived in that place for about 6 years now. I don't have a generator. I don't have inverter. That's what we agreed. We agreed. We agreed how many gates exit the estate we have. So that if there's traffic on one side, we can pass. The estate has about 3 gates. I can go on and on. There's nothing we've agreed. Me and my wife, nothing. So when, as a couple, you are spending energy fighting instead of spending energy agreeing, it's okay to go for counseling as a married couple. Don't wait till the marriage cracks, till it breaks down. Once you are not seeing any sound, anything that looking odd, go for counseling. Repair it. Counseling doesn't even mean you have problem. Counseling means you don't want to have problem. So you are wiser for going. I know men hate counseling, but it's good to go, to suffer servicing. Somebody get what I'm saying? Because You are wasting power on disagreement instead of building power for agreement. Your agreement is more powerful than your disagreement. If you guys work together in unison, two, you say, what two shall agree upon on earth as touching what? Anything. How can you be wasting such power? How can you be wasting such power? You marry somebody to be disagreeing with them every day. Agree about things. What do we want for our children? Pastor and my wife agreed one time that we're believing God for $1 million. I just woke up. I didn't even know. I was checking different things because I planned that, you know, maybe in my later years, I'll go and retire abroad. I mean, I like better things. I want a big house, you know, swimming pool, those kind of things. So I said, honey, let's believe God for $1 million. She said, eh. He said, are we going to be changing naira to dollars? Or are we going to just have... I said, I don't know. But let's just agree that we'll get $1 million. See, if you're here and you're planning to be rich, don't be planning to be rich in naira. Naira is very sluggish. I've seen the sluggish nature of naira. Plan to be rich in dollars. I get what I'm saying? I know God will raise millionaires in this assembly. Amen. And you will prosper in every currency. Amen. Today is not finances. So I told her, let's agree together. Agree doesn't mean prayer of agreement. You know, we're the one that put prayer of agreement. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if two shall agree. We're the one that says prayer. We don't hold our hand and speak to each other. If we are there, we are. Agree is that, Pastor Miwa, do you agree that so-and-so, I agree? We agree. That's what they said. Agree. We're the one that says must be prayer. Not that prayer is bad, but that day we're not praying. We're just in the car. Like I told you, the car is our intimacy place. So we're both in the car. Everybody has gone inside. We're in the car. That's our. So find a place where you can always talk like that and have intimate moments. Car is our own because nothing distracts us there. So I said, let's believe God, $1 million. I said, let's believe God. We did that on a Monday. By Thursday of the same week. Thursday, the same week. Somebody woke us up in the morning. A couple. I had not even had my bath. And I came down. They gave me a bag. So the bag was a perfume bag. So they saw in my face that I was disappointed. Because you can't wake me in the morning to come and give me perfume. I have perfume in my house. I'm not even using. So when they saw my face, they said, it's not perfume that is there. I have to learn better to hide my facial expression. They say, it's not perfume, Pastor. I said, okay, good. I pray for them. I said, do you want to come in? They said, no, they're not coming. They're going. Early morning, they didn't even come in. They were just outside. Give me the bag. I opened the bag. It was $100,000 in cash. We agreed on Monday. By Thursday, $100,000 in cash. It was beautiful. I took selfie with it. I'd never seen $100,000 together in one place before that time. This was many years ago, so it's not that like now. That time, I'd never seen even $10,000 together like that. $100,000 in cash. We couldn't even pay it at the bank at once. Our bank manager said, you can't pay it at once. It reminded me of a scripture that says, you won't have room enough to receive it. There's a kind of blessing God will give you. You won't have room enough to receive it. Bank manager said, you can't pay 100K at once. That you, the alarm will go off. You have to pay it much more. Cash. And since that time, we've been receiving dollars. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So why do you waste agreement? You go and marry somebody to be disagreeing. You are wasting the whole arrangement. We agree. What do we agree? Our children will school abroad. What do we agree? Our children will do. We are, even the temperament of our children, we agreed. The behavior of our children, we agreed. How they will come out. We don't waste it. That's what marriage is for. Two people, two are better than one. I'm not the one that said it. Two are better. Agree. Start holding hands. Start loving each other. Start forgiving. Start tolerating. Because that agreement is protect the agreement. Protect what? The agreement. Leave all the small things that is making you quarrel. Somebody gets what I'm saying. Protect the agreement. Glory to God. When you get home tonight, go and write family vision. Write your family goals and start agreeing. What kind of life do you want to live? How rich do we want to be? What kind of kingdom investments do we want to make? How much do you want to support the work of God? How do we want to yield ourselves for God to use us? We have agreed to every small thing, we agree. And there's none that has not come to pass. None. Till tomorrow. Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet? Have you been blessed at all?